This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, I always am. And someone said that to me this week. I was shocked. They said, "We're glad that you're always wonderful." I said, "You know, being happy is so important."
Well, it is. It's like your little bundle of sunshine everywhere you go.
That's right. I mean, happiness. You need to spread the cheer around, you know?
Well, now that's true.
It is. Someone told me the other day, they meet with people and they always start complaining right away instead of saying, "Gosh, you know, all these wonderful things happened to me this week. It's just a wonderful world."
Yeah.
And, I think I'd rather have somebody that's wonderful than somebody that's pessimistic.
Well, now that is true. You know? People generally like to hang around happy people.
That's right. And somebody that everything's always wrong in their life, I always get them off the phone. That's the thing to do. I have got to run. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. reason to get off the phone at that point.
That's Jeez. Right. Just, you know, you've got to have a good excuse and just go talk to somebody else. Go do some work.
you're not going to kill my buzz over here. No way. We're happy.
That's right. It's kind of like I was talking to a restaurant owner out here in Midland that I love. They have the best Italian food to me anywhere around. And I was talking to him last night and I asked him how business was. He was still bright and upbeat. He said, "It's not as good as it was, but, you know, we're here. We're doing okay."
Good.
And I said, "Well, how about the health situation?" He said, "Well, you know, they're young nowadays. If a cook doesn't want to come to work, he just says, you know, I can't come in today." I mean, he said, you know, they just don't care. And he said, it's like his daddy told him when he was a little boy. He said, "Unless you're dying, you get up and go to work. It doesn't matter what. You get up and you go to work."
Yeah.
And he said, you know, people don't have that value anymore. They don't say, you know, "My employer is counting on me. I need to show up." He said, they just call in and say, "Nope, not coming in today," you know?
Well, you know, to be honest, from the horror stories that I've heard, if they actually do call in and say they're not going to be there, that's more than a lot of people do. Some people now have taken to where they just don't show up at all. They don't call. They don't show up. They're missing.
Yeah, they're just missing in action.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, everybody's having trouble finding people to work right now. There's not enough people. People are just changing jobs all the time. For a dollar an hour, they'll change jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
And in our business, it'd be probably for $100, you know, they'd change.
Yeah.
You know? But I know a lot of people, a lot of restaurants have closed, and a lot of others, well, like Chick-fil-A in Dallas. Most of theirs, they have no inside dining at all. They just don't have enough help.
Oh, wow. Oh, so they...
Yeah, they do not have...
They're not...
They just had to close the dining rooms.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Everything's outside now. Yeah. Just the people stand out there and take your order, and that's all they've got now.
Really? So it's not... They didn't close the dining room because of, like, COVID stuff. They're closed because they don't have enough help.
They did that to start with, but now it's no help.
Wow. That's shocking.
Yeah, it is. And my friend said, you know, being a restaurant owner, it's a good thing he can cook. And I remember years ago when he did cook all the time. And then, you know, they became a lot more prosperous, and they hired cooks and all this. And then he said, you know, things haven't really changed. When they don't show up, I still have to go to the kitchen. I still have to cook, you know?
It's just like going back to his roots.
That's right. And they immigrated, and I think it's from Turkey, when they came here years and years ago.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, I've known them a long time. They went to work for this Italian restaurant years ago. And the owner of that restaurant, he did his own cooking. His wife worked in the restaurant, fabulous place. And, you know, they were of the old school. They were Italian from way back. And then when they retired, they sold their restaurant to him. That's how much they thought of him.
Wow.
They were that good of people. And they still go back to the old country. Like once a year, they'll go for 5 weeks.
Oh, really?
But isn't that a good story that these people worked their butts off, became U.S. citizens, you know, and had nothing when they came here. And now they own their own restaurant, and they've just bought their first home.
Oh, wow. How cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool deal. They're really cool people, and they're great, and I really, really like them and respect what they've done with their life, you know?
Yeah. That's hard to do. That's a really, really big deal. That's a big accomplishment.
And I never hear them. When I go in there, they always hug me. They're smiling. They're happy. I mean, things couldn't be good, but they're still, they've got a smile on their face, and they're happy, you know, and that's important.
Yeah.
I think you'll live a lot longer. Yeah.
Well, now that's true. If you're carrying around a lot of stress and mean and hate and anger, yeah, that'll...
A lot of baggage, I call it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, if you're doing that, you're not accomplishing a lot. And,
we
and
need
the people
more
in the world that are depressed, I want them to get out and see the sunshine.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Get up and get out and like he said, go to work. You know, if you don't have time to think about your troubles, if you go to work every day, you've got to think about something else rather than your own troubles.
Yeah, and sometimes if we just hang out too long, we can get inside your own head and create your own troubles, and so then that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow,
that's right. We don't want that to happen. And then the other thing is get a dog like Max.
Oh.
Max will keep you going. Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Oh, Lord.
I'm going to write a book about Max.
You need
to. I'm going to have to write a book.
You could have
I
a whole.
Max.
It could be a Saturday morning
a
cartoon.
Series.
You could. Yes.
I could write 2 or 3 books about Max.
How old is he now?
Max the Wonder Dog. He's 8 months old now, and we've survived so far.
So far.
We don't know how. The other morning, Max had a frog under him.
What?
My
really?
Daughter walks out of the house. She doesn't see the frog, doesn't know about it, and she started to pet him. He turned around, growled, and then bit her hand.
What?
Because he thought she wanted his frog. Oh, my gosh. A frog.
Like a real...
Who would think he'd be possessive about a little bitty frog?
And we're, and we,
but, you know, he warned her, and she didn't catch on. He was serious about his frog. Oh, my gosh.
Was this like a chew toy or like a real frog?
A real frog.
Oh, Lord.
If it had been a chew toy, he'd been okay. He'd probably said, you know, I'll share. But when he comes out to play every morning, he has this duck. He loves his duck. He'll put it in his mouth and come out, put it in his mouth. And so he wants it with him at all times.
Sure.
I can't imagine that somebody becoming, you know, that crazy about an old duck, but he is.
Yeah.
So that's one of his new toys that he just really liked. But he's got something every day. You know, he escaped into the house the other day.
Uh-oh.
He was running amok all through the house. He jumped on the sofa. I mean, there wasn't anything he didn't do. he put his paws up on the counter, looked around, and everybody's chasing him. And he's loving it. He's running as fast as he can throughout the house. Oh, my gosh. It's a 20-minute deal.
Wow. He sounds like a tornado on 4
minutes.
Legs.
He is a tornado on 4 legs. Oh, my my gosh. And everybody puts out all this information on Goodle Doodles, that they're this calm, sweet family dog. That is the biggest lie. They're not a calm, sweet dog. They're a tornado.
But they'll keep you young, though, that's for sure.
That's right. And he loves to ride in the car. If you can't get him in the house on his leash, go open the car door. He'll get in the car and sit down.
Really?
He loves a car. Oh, yeah, he loves a car. Yeah, he likes for me to take him to school with the kids or to go for a ride.
Oh.
Yeah, he'll go get in the car for anything. Just open the door, he goes and jumps in.
And then he sits down like people.
Yeah, he'll sit right up there on the chair, and then you can get his leash on him. Because you can't get his leash on him lots of times. He'll say, no, I'm not putting the leash on.
Wow.
Everything you hear about those dogs is not true.
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah.
When do they say that that calms down a little bit?
They said maybe in 7 years. 7 years with Max.
Oh, wow.
At full speed. Ooh. At full speed.
My goodness.
You know, most dogs, and one vet said, oh, you know, maybe a year and a half. We went to a behavioral. See, he has to have a specialist. We took him to a behavior veterinarian, and they said, maybe 7 years. Oh my God!
Wow.
Yes, they said we can send you to a specialized trainer that will help. But Max is not going to change his ways of running fast, running and jumping, and you know, all that. That's here to stay.
Yeah, it sounds like he's just
a happy-go-lucky puppy.
Yeah,
he has got more energy than any dog I've ever seen in my entire life.
But it keeps things interesting and fun and happy.
That's right. And we need all that. We don't want a dull family life with no action.
You don't need to worry about that in the Bagby house, that's for sure. Wow.
That's right. Between the children, the llamas, and Max. It's just a full-blown deal every day of our lives.
Lots of energy, lots of things going on, lots of good times, I guess.
That's right, and it's going to keep us young, right? Isn't that true?
Yeah, that's what they say. If it doesn't get you first, it'll keep you young.
Yeah, what doesn't kill us will keep us young. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, let's give out the phone number just for the fun of it.
Let's do that, yes.
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. And really, when people go to the website, that's really kind of where a lot of new investors get their, I guess, maybe introduction or where they get a lot of information so that they come in a little bit more well-informed about how things like life settlements work, about, you know, different opportunities. You know, we talk a lot about life settlements as far as... like investing and growing wealth and things like that. And it's a great program and a lot of people make a lot of money, but it's not always just about life settlements. There are other options. You've got annuities. Is that another?
That's right. People can do either one. Annuities are a big deal in every state. I think in every town because they are very, very conservative. They're for people that want to just sit back, let their money grow, take 10% out every year or take a lump sum at the end of the term. And has good interest rates. It's not going to be the ups and downs, you know, of a lot of other things, but it's solid.
Mm. Which would you say is more popular among the most investors? Would you say annuities or life settlements are the bigger choice?
Life settlements, naturally, because you make more. And people that need to make more that are coming out of the stock market and maybe they were a little disappointed they didn't make what they thought they would, that's why they go into life settlements because it's going to make more money than a lot of other investments. And it's not going to make you rich overnight. You can forget that. But it will give you good, solid returns.
And it's a long-term plan, though, right? It's not where somebody comes in, gets in a life settlement, and then all of a sudden they're out and they go on about their life. It's a plan.
No, it's a plan. It's a long-term plan. It's a 7 to 10 year plan. In other words, if you got in it today and said, I've got $100,000, I want to do one policy and get out. No, we wouldn't do that. We want people to come in and buy multiple policies where that you've got some coming in early, some on time, and then there'll be some that are late. But it'll work out in the end if you are diversified, if you have a lot of policies.
And that's really, I guess, from things that you've talked about in the past, that's really the key, is being diversified, being in a number of different policies, because the way it works is that, you know, you've got all these policies and then some will come in and then you'll reinvest into others. And then over time, people, I guess, generally kind of step back, look at the big picture and say, wow, you know, the averages of how this entire, say, the last 5 or 7 years, however long people look at it, it's just like, man, we really have made a lot of money. Some policies went over, some came in early, and that's really how the whole plan is designed, I think, if I'm characterizing
it. Is, right. And I had a gentleman that had 5 policies that came in early. The next ones are late. Mm. Now, he wanted them to all be on time also, or to be early.
Sure.
I said, it doesn't work that way. Every policy is different. And every time we buy a policy, you know, it says it's 24 months, it's 30, maybe it's 11. We finished up that 11 month that we talked about the other day. A lot of people went in that. Krasinski, you know, actually had 2 policies. And I didn't make that clear the other day. When I said, well, we're doing Krasinski, a lot of people said, oh, I've already done Krasinski. But for other people, we did have that second policy. But when people go into a policy, you know, it's just the timing. Whether it comes in early, whether it comes in middle or late, the return is there. If it's 24 months, you're going to get 24%. If it's 18 months, you're going to make 18%. So it's not like other investments where, you know, it can go down in the meantime. This is whatever you start out with, that's what you're going to make. So it's always good to get your principal and your interest back. Like if you're in the stock market, you don't know how much you're going to get back. We believe you'll get back everything plus the profit, but it doesn't always work that way.
No, and anything can affect it. Anything that's, you know, unforeseen can affect Wall Street. Even say somebody was going to invest in a new product or a new company or whatever, and so there's all this research, there's all these numbers, and you know, all these, you know, prophecy profit margins and things like that, and they know all this stuff ahead of time. But anything can happen, no matter how well researched an investment on Wall Street is. Something else that's completely unforeseen, completely unrelated, some kind of worldly event, some kind of anything at all can affect it. So those variables that are unforeseen, I think, are probably some of the most dangerous elements as far as a stock market type of investment with a life settlement. Whatever happens, all those factors are completely off the table because it's not affected by anything else. It is its own thing because it's a life insurance policy.
That's right. A life insurance policy is completely different than any investment in the whole wide world. You know, a life insurance policy, whatever you have is a face value. You'll always get the face value. They're not going to discount it. They're not going to ask you to take a discount. You're going to get the face amount. So that's why it's a really solid investment, because a life insurance policy, I think, is just a lot more conservative than a lot of other investments.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've never heard of a life insurance policy not paying out because some war broke out in Europe or something like that. It's like if
that's
the policy
right.
matures, people get paid, and so that's just there's literally it's a really solid foundation from what it sounds like, a really solid foundation as far as, you know, you take all those variables out that are unforeseen that people can't control, you can't even really predict for those types of things. things because they do happen out of nowhere. And it's got to be really, really a great feeling for a lot of investors just to know that that whole risk of those types of effects wiping out their entire portfolio, it's got to be comforting to know that that's off the table and they don't even have to worry about it.
Well, I think I mentioned the other day, and I should have written the gentleman's name down, on Wall Street. They interviewed him. He's a billionaire. And he was heavily in Wall Street. And they asked him the other day, they said, well, what about your portfolio? He said, I'm 100% in cash. He said, I've went to all cash. And when the big boys start going to cash, I think everybody should be a little bit worried and say, well, you know, if they... They probably know more about investments than anybody in the world because, you know, they have all kinds of people that work for them, that work on stocks every day. You know, they have accountants, they have these geniuses that figure out what's going to go up, what's going to go down, the whole thing. And when they get in cash, I would think people would say, maybe we shouldn't be in this wild ride right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's went up, it's went down. And, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen. It's affected every day by the news of the day.
No, yeah, and that's true. And you can never predict the news of the day. And I guess that would be one of those things that really people would kind of keep their eye on. You may be, you know, sleeping with one eye open, watching to see what these people do. And if him and others are going to all cash, it might be a sign. What do you think? I mean, how do you see when they go to all cash like that?
Well, I think when they all go to cash, they know something. That's always my theory, is that they know something that maybe we should know.
I mean, it seems pretty serious. It would be one thing if somebody was to, you know, sell off a certain stock or something like that. Maybe they see something happening. But to go completely all cash, I would think that almost might be more of an attention getter, maybe, because it's not like just getting rid of one stock or something like that. It seems like it's, hey, the whole market is potentially in danger, not just one particular element. Do you see it that way, or am I looking at it wrong?
No, that's definitely the way I see it.
All right. Well, then, so if anybody is in the stock market, it might be time, because we've kind of heard some buzz earlier, a few months ago, that there may be some kind of, what did they call it, an event by the end of the year?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. And I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if they, you know, if they know what they're talking about. We never know about those things.
So as people are looking right now, they may be looking at their portfolio saying, well, geez, you know, I've still got a few things in the stock market. Maybe it is time to think about it. What would be the greatest asset? And we may have already covered it. What would be the greatest asset of moving from the stock market into strictly life settlements?
Well, in my opinion, it'd be the security of it. The security of being in a life insurance policy is a lot more secure than being in the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Because nothing is affected by it. So if the market does crash, anybody that is in a life settlement, they're not going to feel a thing, not a bump in the road, nothing.
No, they're not going to feel a bump in the road. It's going to go just on like it was.
Okay. And I would imagine that that's probably when people come over from the stock, just in a regular situation, when people come over from like Wall Street and they start in with life settlements, is that like one of the biggest shocks, I guess, in a good way, that they don't have to get up all night and check their portfolio every day and see if they have everything in the middle of the night or if they got anything left or they got to go back to work? They don't have to do that. It's literally just a waiting game. I would think that would be one of those things that's like people can finally like exhale and stop. Stop worrying about losing everything all night, I would think.
That's right, because it's so conservative. You know what you're going to make. You know when you're going to make it. And you can sit back and relax. You don't have to, as you said, you don't have to get up at midnight every day and check the stock market.
And really, when it comes to life settlements, I know people see things about buying life insurance policies all the time. There's TV commercials. There's, you know, ads everywhere about, oh, sell your life insurance policy. We'll buy your life insurance. All these and that and the other thing. But the types of policies that you buy are very, very unique. They're very special, which is what makes this exact investment that you are doing such a big deal because you're only dealing with stage four cancer policies.
That's right. You know, we're not doing anything except stage four. We know they're going to pass away, and we believe we know approximately when the time is. Now, we could be wrong. The doctors could be wrong. They might live past that expectancy, but we have a large, large percent of them that are right, and they do die on time, and I hate to say that. But when they come to us, they know that they're dying. They know they only have a short time, and that's why they come to us, because they know that they need some cash, and they've got to have it now. And as I said, it's $100,000 a month to do cancer treatments. So that's why they come to us to get us to give them the help that they need. And then our clients, they want to make a profit, and they can see how this will make a profit conservatively over and over again. If it wasn't true, we wouldn't have clients that have got $3 million apiece in their portfolios right now.
Wow.
You realize that? They've got $3 million in portfolios with us.
Goodness.
So we're not talking about people that have got $50,000 or $100,000. We're talking about large clients. And
wow.
They started out 14 years ago like $300,000.
Really?
But the people I'm thinking about, all of them, started out with approximately $300,000. And today they've got $3 million with us.
And that's only in about 14 years or so?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, you see.
They started out in 14. Most of them started in 14. We had a few started in 13. Most of them started in 14.
Well, geez, that's 7 years?
Yeah.
Something like that. My math is not real great this morning.
Yeah.
But my goodness, that's a fast. How many policies about were each of them in? I assume several.
Oh, my gosh. I think one of them's in 30. One's probably in 20. I don't remember how many the other have got, but they have a lot. They're not in like five policies, six policies. They're in a lot. And as they've come due, you know, they've just reinvested. And they do it steadily. It's a steady thing. You know, when we call and say, I've got this policy and this, and they said, we'll take some of both.
So it's not only diversity.
They're always up.
It's consistency as well.
It's diversified and consistent over and over again.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
Interest income is a lot. Some of them is over $100,000 interest per year.
That's just those numbers are still sinking into me, and as I think about it, you know, the more it settles in, you know, to go from 300,000 to 3 million in like 7 years, I mean,
yeah.
You can't. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's an attention getter right there.
It is. It's a lot of money. Let's face it. This is big business. You know, we have over $100 million invested with us.
Are you serious?
Now, that may not sound like a lot, but to me, it's a lot of money.
Yeah. That's $100 million is a big deal to just about anybody. Wow.
I think it is. Yeah, we have over $100 million invested.
Man.
So that tells you how many policies we've bought over the years.
Golly. Yeah, so
and annuities, we've written $16 million over the years in annuities.
Really? I didn't realize that.
I just got a statement from the insurance companies the other day, and they said, Faye, you've written $16 million in annuities over the years, from 2003 till now.
Really?
Yeah.
That's less than eight. That's
and a
less
lot
than
of
20.
Them have just matured. I've been getting calls from people that took out annuities with us 11 years ago. And those are maturing, and now they're redoing it. They're a lot older now than they were, but they're still with us. The investment was solid. They made money, and they're going to renew.
Wow. That's a big deal. Do you recommend maybe a combination of life settlements and annuities, or how would that play out? Is that a good idea, or maybe should people just go one way or the other?
They can go both. And I had someone the other day that was considering putting part of their portfolio, a large part, in annuities. But this particular client is single, so he looks at things a lot differently than a married couple would. And he thought about it, and he said, no, I think at this point I need to stay with the life settlements.
So really, it's just kind of about whatever's right for the individual investor. But regardless, both methods are making a lot of money for a lot of people.
That's right. And so it doesn't matter which you're in. Both of them are conservative. An annuity is the conservative of the conservative, you know. it's for people that usually are fixing to retire or already retired. They don't want to have to worry about the money. They don't want stock market. They don't want anything. They just want to know they're going to get paid once a year. And they have IRAs. They have regular money with me. And they, if it's an IRA, they take that IRA deal every year. They take the money from the regular annuity, and they don't even think about it. I mean, they don't have to call us. Now, some people will say every year, Faye, what are we going to put it in? Because with annuities, you have 10 choices every year, lots of choices. And we can go back and see what they've made every year. It's all on record. And like Midland National will send us a statement. We say, okay, this particular investment, what has it made for 10 years? And they can tell us. They can look back on their computers for 10 years and tell me.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, so that's important. When people are fixing to invest, I say, Faye, what is this made? Well, I can tell them, you know, approximately what each different annuity has made. So that's really important to be able to tell them, you know, where they're going to stand in it, what they'll make over the years. And there was a lot of people years ago took bonuses. I mean, they took 10% bonuses, 5%. I think one year there was one company that gave a 20% bonus.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of the people took advantage of all that. And, of course, now I'm trying to get them not to do bonuses, just to take the bigger amount as interest.
Mm.
But it works, and that's the good thing about annuities. If you've got a fixed index annuity, it works. If you've got a variable annuity from the brokerage house, you know, it's just like a stock. It can go up, it can go down, and there's a lot of fees involved. So, you know, you have to look at what it's going to cost you and what you're going to make on anything you're doing in life. And like life settlements has the least fees of any investment in the whole wide world. Do you realize that?
We don't talk about fees very often, no.
Okay, talk about them. The only fees involved is from Nevada Trust. They charge $250 a year per account. That's unheard of. It's so low.
Really? Just $250 per account?
$250 to handle all the things they do for me and my clients. Now, they charge me a lot more. I think they charge me like $50,000 a year, $40,000, something like that. Then we've got Bank of Utah. Their fees are high. And we've still got people over there. We're moving them as we can. But they're still charging me $50,000 a year just to do business with them.
Really?
But it's all, yeah. But Nevada Trust handles so many millions and millions for us. The fees are great.
Wow. It seems like you get more than a good bang for your buck, a good return on that one.
We do. And they'll talk to any of us. In fact, one of my clients was in Las Vegas last week, all week long. Him and his friends go out there every 4 or 5 years. And he was going to move some money to Nevada Trust. Then all of a sudden he said, Faye, I'm in Nevada. I'm right here. I'm in Las Vegas. I said, oh, my gosh. He said, I think I'll go over and just give him a check and meet everybody. Now, wasn't that neat?
Wow.
You can just go over there to the bank and meet people. I thought it was pretty funny.
That's neat.
He said, I'll go over there as a bum and see if they'll let me in. That's what he said. Oh, my gosh.
I assume they did.
I haven't heard a word from either one.
Of course.
I've been wanting to talk to him and see what they said to him.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he went over and introduced himself and met the officers of the company.
Wow.
And they would welcome anybody to come in, you know, because they talk to my clients. When they call, they're always willing to talk to them, help them with anything they need. And that's what we love about Nevada Trust.
It's important, you know, when I think a lot of times when people, you know, are in something, especially when we're talking about this much money, when people are in something and they can't reach anybody, or there's, you know, they feel like they're, you know, out on an island all by themselves and they're abandoned, then that makes for a very stressful situation. It's great to know that that anybody is accessible at any time by anybody for anything. That's really great.
That's right. They're always accessible. And I like that. And, you know, most of my clients have my cell phone number. And if they can't reach somebody at the office on a particular subject, they call me direct. And, you know, they don't have to call India for anything they need. You know, we don't have a deal set up in India or Taiwan or, you know, places like that. Everything is local, and you can talk on the phone to any officer of the company, whether it's my company or whether it's Nevada Trust.
You know, most places when you deal with something, especially on this level, there is some kind of a generic call center involved. It's great to know that people can just reach out to you. I didn't realize that people had your cell phone number and they could just call you
they
or text
do.
You. Wow.
It's on my card. Did you know that?
Really?
My cell number. I think it's on my card. I know that everybody has the number. I'll tell you that. They do call me. And they'll say, I apologize for calling. I say, no, it's fine. Call me.
Wow.
And, that's just, you know, we love our clients. We want them, if they have an issue, if they have a question, usually it's a question about a new policy. And they, if they're not comfortable, they call me and have me go over the life expectancy with them, which I'm glad to do. I don't mind doing it all. If a policy goes over, they'll call me and say, okay, this policy went over. Why did it go over? And we'll look it up and see what happened, why it went over. On the old policies, we know why they went over.
Yeah.
They sold us people that weren't sick way back in 13, 14. But we've almost out of those. We've just got three left.
Yeah, I know, and that's been a that's been a sore spot for a while, getting stuck with those.
It has. It's been a sore subject to me. And then we had some that the premiums were too high. So we started watching that really careful. Now we are very, very careful about how the premiums are. If it's got a higher premium and I love the policy, I only put our wealthiest clients in it because they can handle it. And so if it's high, I tell everybody, okay, you can't put the $40,000 in. That way it's not going to hurt you no matter what happens.
Yeah, it's a layer of protection. It's a safety net, I guess.
It's a safety net, and we have all kinds of things for our clients to protect them at all times.
Wow. And that's
why our contracts are drawn up by a large law firm that protects them in everything we do.
You know, people don't get that kind of level of service, that kind of looking out for it, you know, in other kinds of situations. So, wow, that's really doing business above and beyond what you actually have to do. That's fantastic. That's really cool. This is Your Money with Faye.
We try to do the best we can.
Well, yeah, and you know, and we're talking about a lot of money here. I mean, the whole point is to grow people's wealth and not just like take their money and then leave them, you know, kind of kick them out to the curb and leave them to fend for themselves. You know, that's how these relationships work. You know, that's good business. And when you do good business, you know, you stay around for a while. Your client list grows, and that's just it's rare these days. So it's really great that you point that out too, because it is a big deal. It's really, really important. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It's the singer, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Do you remember him?
Yes. Man.
You remember how, oh my gosh, what a singer. He was born October 3rd, 1954. He passed away August 27th, 1990. He was born in Dallas, Texas, over in Oak Cliff. Stevie Ray started playing the guitar at age 7. His first guitar was a toy.
Really?
And he learned to play on it, yes. He was inspired by his older brother, Jimmy. And Jimmy dropped out of high school and moved to Austin. And he began playing gigs on the local club circuit. You know, everybody says if you want to get in the music business, you have to be in Austin. can't be anywhere else in Texas.
Yeah, that's true.
And then Vaughn formed the band Double Trouble. Do you remember that? That was his band.
Yep.
It was the most popular act in Texas. He performed at the Montreux Jazz Festival. Then he put out an album, Let's Dance. And then he was discovered by John Hammond.
Really?
And then Epic Records signed him and his band, and then they achieved stardom with Texas Flood. Do you remember that song?
I do, yes.
Yeah, and then he did all these television appearances, network, started concert tours, and he was the leading figure in the 1980s. He could play behind his back. He could play in the front with his teeth, like Jimi Hendrix did.
Yeah.
And he went to Europe. He became very famous, but he struggled. He had a drug problem. He had an alcohol problem, and it really messed things up. And he went to rehab, completed it, and never drank or did drugs again.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I guess I didn't realize he had that much success after he got sober. I didn't realize that.
He only played for 7 years. As you know, he was killed in a helicopter crash.
I know it. I remember that day.
His album, In Step, reached number 33 in 1989. It was one of his most critically and commercially successful releases. And his number one song in that was Crossfire, if you remember that.
Oh, I was going to guess Pride and Joy, but yeah, I remember Crossfire.
Yeah, he played in Madison Square Garden, Beale Street Music Festival, and he was one of the best blues players, I guess, that we ever had.
Yeah.
Even though his career, you know, was short. But he was an American musician, a songwriter, he was a singer, a record producer. It's just amazing what all he did in that short time.
It really is.
Go ahead.
Well, you wonder, you know, if he hadn't been cut short, because you say he did a lot of things in a very short amount of time. He did. I wonder just what would have happened, you know, had he gone on for another 10, 20, you know, years. Who knows? Whatever.
There's no telling how stardom would really affect him.
Yeah.
And then he joined a band called Southern Distributor. And I never had heard of that. And he learned the Yardbirds, Jeff's Boogie. It's just amazing. In addition, blues. They told me, it said, you can't earn a living playing blues music. And so he parted ways with that company. And later that year, Bassett, Tommy Shannon, walked in a Dallas club, heard him, became fascinated by his skills, and described him as an incredible even then.
Wow.
And they began performing together in a band called Cracker Jacks.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember Cracker Jacks. I feel like I should.
Yeah, he was in a nine-piece group with a horn section, and briefly he was playing bass with Jimmy in Texas Storm.
Yeah. And Jimmy went on to, he had his own band, and for the life of me, I'm just drawing a blank, but I remember he had his own band.
Yeah, and he played in downtown Dallas with ZZ Top.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Man. I mean.
And then they played Thunderbird.
Wow.
And they said it tore the house down. It was so awesome. So it was one of the most magical evenings.
You know, I never got to.
And he fitted in that van with ZZ Top, hand in glove.
That's amazing. I never had a chance to see him live in concert, but I've seen all kinds of footage, and just it seems like going to a Stevie Ray Vaughan concert would have been just like a magical experience. It would have been one of those things that you're going to come out of the concert different than you were when you went into the concert. And so it's just that much talent and that much energy and that much. It looks like it was such an intense, you know, just listening to him on the radio was amazing. I couldn't even imagine seeing him live.
And he recorded Red, White, and Blue, and then I Heard a Voice last night. And those were great. And then he got tired of the scene, and you know, started, like you said, he quit the band. Then he joined Mark Benno's band, the Nightcrawlers.
The Nightcrawlers.
And, yeah. And then he did some records for A&M Records. And Dirty Pool and Crawling.
Wow.
And you, I didn't remember those two.
I know it. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, man, I feel like I should. I thought I knew, and I was not an expert, of course, but I thought I knew a lot more about Stevie Ray Vaughan than I guess I do. I'm thinking, I don't remember any of these things. What's wrong with me?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't remember all this. Of course, you know, in 1990, they were in a helicopter in East Troy, Wisconsin. They'd been performing at the Alpine Valley Music Theater, if you remember.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was pilot error. His family sued the helicopter company. They settled out of court. In 2003, David Frickle of Rolling Stone ranked him the 7th greatest guitarist of all time.
Yeah, I can see that, too. That's well-deserved. Man.
Yeah. So it was 7 years is all he played. But like you said, what would have happened if he'd had more time?
Yeah. God, I couldn't even. I'm sure he was one of those artists that had, like, music just pent up in him, and he just couldn't, you know, the creativity that he could have or maybe would have, you know, put out in new music over, you know, years after that, who knows? And then you wonder, well, you know, maybe that's like the best of the best, and anything after that would not have, you know, been quite as great. You never know. Maybe that's part of why he's such a legend. Obviously, the talent is there and well-deserved to be.
And they say... yeah, they say he was one of the most influential musicians in the history of blues.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest guitarists of all time.
Man.
So that's saying a lot, if they think he was one of the greatest of all time. I think it's amazing that he was so talented and, you know, was able to record quickly after he started performing.
Yeah.
You know, Epic Records took him, the other records company. And he recorded all those. They say in Europe he was really big.
It's just the talent in some people is just mind blowing to me. And he's just one of those that maybe we took it for granted that he had so much talent in him, or maybe we didn't even know the full spectrum. Who knows?
And he was only 35 when he passed away.
Really?
So that was a young talent that went quickly.
Wow. That's way too early. Man. And I didn't realize he'd only played for 7 years. I'm still kind of blown away from that as well.
Yeah, he only played 7 years. So in that length of time, you know, he had a lot of firsts. He had a lot of really great recordings. But there wasn't a lot of them, you know. They were great. He's, like you said, he was a genius with a guitar. He could do anything with it. And like ZZ Top said, you know, he fit right in with them, just immediate, when they started playing together.
Man.
And he was one of the most popular acts Texas ever had.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Man. Yeah.
And it only took months, they said, for him to reach the success and become acclaimed on these albums. And I don't remember the album Texas Flood, what all was on that one. But it must have had a lot of, you know, good songs on that one.
It must have. I can't remember all of them. I obviously remember Crossfire and Pride and Joy. And well, I know there's so many. I remember, you know, listening to them all. It's just for some reason I just can't. I can't place them.
I can't remember them all.
Exactly. I don't. It seems like Stevie Ray Vaughan is one of those that packed a lifetime of living and music and experiences and different projects all into like a very, very, very short amount of time. He probably did more in 7 years than many artists do in a lifetime, I would say.
Yeah, and they said that Tommy Shannon, he just walked into a Dallas nightclub and heard him playing. He was so fascinated by his skill, as he described, as incredible even then. Shannon borrowed a bass guitar, and they started jamming. And later, they started performing together in the band called Crackerjack, as I mentioned. I mean, everybody wanted to play with him, is what I'm trying to say. Anybody that ever heard Vaughn play said, man, let me get in on this. Let me play with him.
Yeah.
And that's when, as I said, in the 70s, he was performing at the Adolphus when ZZ Top said, would you perform for us? And during the break, he started jamming with ZZ Top, and he said it was awesome. He said it was one of the most magical moments playing with him.
I can only imagine. It'd probably be one of those things where some musicians, I mean, obviously a lot of people want to play with him, like you said, but I would imagine probably there's other musicians who would be really intimidated and like, no, I'm not even going to go stand next to that guy. He's going to blow me away.
I think they would. They were scared to death when they saw what an incredible guitarist he was. And what he could make a guitar do, that they would walk away. They'd say, oh, my gosh, I don't want to try to play with him.
Yeah, yeah. It's like with Stevie Ray Vaughan, it was just like not only was it, you know, musically what he could do, but also, like, it was visual. Like, to watch him play, it was just this whole different thing. It wasn't just sitting up there strumming a guitar. It was a visual thing with him as well. And you don't get that with everybody.
And, you know, another thing, it's amazing that he even became successful. His dad was an alcoholic, was abusive, was terrible to these kids. And I think he took to the guitar to get away from the abuse, you know, to get in his own little world. And I think that's what saved him, is him and his brother, you know, started playing guitar, started playing instruments to get away from the abuse. And I think that's what made him.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, a lot of times when you're trying to, I guess, escape from something and you put everything you have into something else, it really can be very, very powerful. Not to mention the natural talent that clearly he had. Dude was a visionary, that's for sure. Man.
Can you believe he was 14 when he first auditioned?
Part of me says no, I can't, and then part of me says, considering who we're talking about, I can. You know, I'm torn.
And they said he played it note for note, and he taught himself. Nobody taught him to play. He taught himself, and I can't believe it. He auditioned for Jeff's Boogie on a really fast instrumental guitar, played it, I mean, note for note at 14.
Wow. That's amazing. There's people double that can't. Yeah, it's just amazing talent. Amazing.
Amazing. Life cut short, but if everybody goes back, looks at his work, they'll see what an incredible guitarist he was.
I know.
He was just an amazing man.
I'm pretty sure I've still got some vinyl records. I may have to pull them out again.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, right?
Yeah, the old vinyl records, which you can't even get those anymore.
You can't.
Yeah, but he was one of our incredible musicians from Texas.
Yes, yes. See, yet another facet of Texas that it's stamped in history. It's something else to be proud of. Amazing.
It is.
This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Of course, now that I think about it, I could probably just download some songs instead of pull out the vinyl
records.
I started
to say that while ago, but I didn't.
I got a little nostalgic there.
but you know, Texas has so much talent. You were right.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think of all the guys that grew up in Texas that became famous for their music, it is astounding that they did it.
Yeah, it really is. Amazing, amazingly talented. Okay, so before we wrap up the show, let's get into the risks, because we kind of talked just a little bit about like when life settlements go over, that's one of the things that people worry about. We know that it's, I shouldn't say worry, but that's one of the things that is involved with it. It's one of the aspects. We talked about the long-term investments. Some will come in early, some will go over, and that is, I guess, probably the biggest risk, like you say, is if it does go over.
That's right. It is a risk. We have to tell everybody about it. It's not a large risk because everybody is accredited that's in this, so they have other money. They're not broke. and they can handle it if it goes over. But everybody always gets an LE, and when they get that LE, it shows what the risk is. It shows how much it'll go, what your premiums are. You need to always know that. So the biggest risk is it could go over and you'll have to pay premiums. So you have to know that. The next risk is it's not liquid during that time. So if you have an emergency, you cannot take it out of this. You have to take it out of your other money, which I think everybody knows. The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under, it would take you a little longer to get your money. But we haven't had a life insurance go broke in Texas forever. And nationwide, we haven't had one in years. So I believe that's pretty safe. I think your risks are very nominal.
Yeah, especially when you have to when you take into credit that in order to do a life settlement, you've got to be accredited. And what does that mean?
You must make either $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home.
Okay.
And lots of times people will call and say, "I'm not sure I'm worth $1 million," and we'll go over, you know, stocks, bonds, CDs, bank accounts, IRAs, 401ks, horses, cattle, you know, the things that can be sold for money is an asset.
And a lot of times, like you say, a lot of times people don't realize that they are accredited. They think they're not, and then they'll start adding things up, and they'll find, or they'll remember a 401k they may have sitting out someplace. They didn't realize some particular asset was an actual asset, and that can be counted. And then a lot of times, once people start adding things up, it pushes them over the line, and they're actually more accredited. Didn't you have somebody that thought they weren't, and then it turns out they were like 1.5 or something like that?
That's right. They were from Big Spring. I'll never forget. When they left, they said, "We've got to go home, add everything up." They went home, they called me back, and they said, "We're worth $1.5 million.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and this happens all the time. I had a gentleman the other day, wasn't sure, you know, what he was worth. We went over it, and he had plenty of assets.
Yeah. If somebody is interested in ultimately doing life settlements, but they're not accredited, but they're close, is an annuity a good way to build up those assets to get to the point?
Yes, an annuity is the way to go. And then after several years, let's say you do a 5-year or a 7-year annuity, then if you have enough money, then you can put that annuity back into a life settlement.
Okay. All right, so people can build
up.
So
there's all kinds of things you could, yeah.
Okay, and because, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, you talk about the life settlement, and it really does. I mean, I know you said that it's the really the most popular investment avenue, but it really does have so many different, not only profit, you know, a chance to make, you know, great profits and great returns, you know, quickly, and then reinvest in things like that. It's a great system to set up. But, you know, just knowing the fact that, you know, hey, there could be anything that happens at any time that could, you know, have a negative effect on the stock market and people's, you know, overall portfolio. And with a life settlement, you don't have that. I mean, this is a great time, I would think, you know, even if nothing does ever happen, it's a great time to kind of get conservative and know that you're going to, you know, maintain your principal and things like that. It's got to be a comforting place to kind of make the change to something a little more conservative, I would think.
To know that your principal is safe is really important to everybody. I mean, I would always consider that. Is my principal 100% safe? You know, am I in something? I'll always get that principal back. It's safe. That, to me, is a big deal.
Yeah. For people to get started, though, they do have to call. Do they need to do anything ahead of time? Do they have to do research?
Not really. Just make sure if they're accredited or not, and that'll tell us which way to go, and then call and make an appointment.
Okay. And for appointments this coming week, I assume you've got availability. You usually do.
We do, because it's a new week.
We start
every
all over.
Every week stands on its own.
Words to live by Faye Bagby.
So, that's right.
One last time, Faye, for people to make an appointment, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com, has got a lot of good stuff. Go and look us up.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.